This morning, we're going to continue in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. We've been working through Galatians chapter 5. And for those of you that haven't been here yet or before, we've gone through love, joy, peace, and today, everybody's favorite, we're talking about patience or long-suffering. Long-suffering just makes it sound even worse, doesn't it? But let's read this together. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So just a reminder that all these things that are described here in Galatians, they're things that we don't have to strive to try and make happen, but we see them happen in our lives by submitting to the Lord, by allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. It's the fruit that he produces. Not that we have to try and work harder or be more religious about or try and be perfect, but actually what happens is as we submit our lives to the Lord, as we pursue him, as we fall more in love with him, as we surrender everything to him, he changes us. And these are the things that begin to come out of us: love, joy, peace, patience. And so it's a wonderful, amazing thing that as we draw close to him, he does it in us automatically. Isn't that awesome? So you don't have to strive harder to try and look like something on the outside. You just submit to him. You just surrender to him. Just chase God and watch what he does to your heart. And so that's kind of what we're going through. And if you're honest today, okay, not a trick question, but a real question: how many of us could use a little more patience in our lives? All right? And the rest of you, yeah, I know. I think we all have areas in our life that we do okay in, right? We can handle. And then there's certain areas in our life that, you know, just that certain thing happens or that certain person or whatever, and we just have blood boiling in an instant, right? There's just this like, duh, inside. And so we all have areas we got to work at. And I think of, you know, kids, the different stages of learning that they go through. And, you know, when a kid wants something, they want something not in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. They want it now, right? And if you don't give it to them right now, they're going to let you know. I want it now. And as you don't listen, usually the volume gets higher and higher and higher. And they have to go through this process of learning that I actually can't have everything right now and the way I want it and how I want it, right? I don't get everything I want. And they might scream and they might yell. And they need to learn that there is something about being patient, about waiting. And if we don't learn that, we have problems when we're older. And so we need to learn that, don't we? And they, you know, I think of, like, I'll just... confession time. I have a struggle with bad drivers. They drive me a little bit crazy. So, you know, when someone cuts me off, I just go from peaceful to angry. Like, just, it's amazing. Just like, what are they doing? You know, last night, we drove into town last night. It's funny because driving the truck into town, and I see this vehicle block ahead of us, turn on its reverse lights, and I'm thinking, don't do it, because I'm coming, and it's icy, and sure enough, they wait till I'm pretty close, and then pull out and stop right in front in the lane. And I'm like, hey, and I'm hit the brakes. I can feel a truck slide, and I can hear Jill starting to be like, Paul, and I'm like, it's okay. I got it. It's okay. But you know, we all have those things. No, it wasn't you. I promise it was no one from our church that I know of anyway. I didn't recognize the vehicle. And I didn't chase them down. slow internet. What does that make you feel like when you see the round circle and nothing's happening? You're like, I'm in a rush. I want to print this. Got to do this. How about waiting in line? How do you act when you have to wait in line? You know, like just an honest little self-assessment. What about when you're at the doctor's office, you know, and you're like, no one else is allowed to be an hour and a half late. You know, anybody ever been there? No, just me. I learned I phone before I go. How they doing? I'll come when they're ready. There's many things in our life, certain attitudes, certain things, certain habits, whatever the things are that can cause us to completely lose our cool and actually cause us to lose our peace, right? Because we don't have the patience to wait. And so probably in your head right now, you're thinking of a few things that make you go, oh, come on. I don't have time for this right now, you know? You're in line at McDonald's, and it's taken 3 minutes and 27 seconds to get your food, and then you see that someone else is making an order for 8 people, and you're like, ah, and you're waiting for that burger, and it hasn't come. You know, there are things that will drive you crazy. Technology, when it doesn't work. You know, there's so many things. I was buying something at a store recently, just before Christmas, and I was on my way, I think up to PA, and I was supposed to meet someone, and I was waiting for their call. So they call me and they say, okay, we're ready. I'm ready to go. So I head for the till. I think, okay, I'm on my way. I get to the till and they start asking me all the questions like, can I have your email? Can I have your postal code? Can I have your, and I just politely said to them, yes. You know, I said, I'm in a rush. If I could just pay today and go, it'd be wonderful. Like I, you know, well, okay. Would you like our points card? No, I don't want your points card. Please just let me pay. So then they ring it all through. And I tap my card because, you know, who wants to actually punch in a PIN anymore because we're in a rush, right? So I tap my card, it goes beep, and the computer dies. Dead. And, you know, of course it happens when you're in a rush, right? And so I'm like, it's okay, it's all good. And she goes, I heard the beep, but I have to actually give you a receipt to make sure that it went through. I'm like, no big deal. So she reboots it. It's not working. It's taking a long time. So I'm kind of thinking, okay, now several minutes have gone by. So I said, can I just go to the other till, pay for it there, and, you know, refund it on this one when it comes through, if that's the case? Well, no, that doesn't work. So then there's a manager involved, and now they're trying to figure it all out. So enough time has gone by that I actually bring it up on my phone. I'm like, look, guys, my bank card says it's paid. Like, it's through. I don't need a receipt. I'd like to leave. And they're like, no. And I said, here's, like, I can give you my driver's license, my email, my contact information. I'm coming through in 4 days again if you need me. But I need to go. I've paid for it. It shows it in my phone. No, we can't. So 15 minutes later, now inside, things are boiling, right? And I'm like, just take it back. I don't want it. But, you know, we all face things like that, right? That want to steal our joy, our peace, our love, that take you from being okay to not okay to just losing your stuff. And so we need to learn that actually having patience is something that is in the heart of God. And it's hard, in case you didn't notice that yet. And sometimes God's ways and the process that he has in our life is really slow. And for those of us who are wired to get things done now and to see things happen, it can be hard. You know, like, God, I'm trying to be 4 steps up here. Why are you back there still? And it's like, because you're not ready. It's our nature. It's in our nature. It's in our culture to want things now, right now. And so I'm like, I listen to podcasts at 1.5 speed because I want to take it all in now. I'm in a rush, you know. I choose restaurants based on the waiting time, and if I can, when we're driving through a city or coming into town, I'll phone ahead. I'll order so I can sit down and I don't have to wait for them to cook the food. That's how I roll. Like, I'm just like, let's go. And so, you know, that's just how some of us are wired. I when I was in high school, I worked as a waiter at the Cypress Hills Resort there, and I remember, like, the thing in my head was to make sure that table or tables I was looking after never had a need for a refill or anything like that. Like, that was my standard. So now if I sit down at a restaurant, if a glass goes empty at my table, I'm like, where are they? You know, and that's, so there's things in us that we're wired to. Like, my wife will order groceries online so I can pull into Superstore, pick it up and leave because I don't have time to go in there. You know, we're in a rush. We're always in a rush, right? Sorry. It's confession time. This is me. You know, maybe you've been in a rush before, and then have you ever remembered, oh, I have kids? No. In fact, in my case, I have 3 of them. And if my kids are not in the same mode of excitement to get somewhere as I am, I mean, it can be a bit of a struggle, you know? And there's this opportunity to completely lose it because they are not in the vehicle ready to go, and you have to be somewhere. And, like, if you remember, for those of you who have had kids, the different stages, right? Like, there's a stage my kids are at now where it's usually like, hurry up and get out the door and whatever. And if they don't have the right clothes on for outside, well, that's their problem, you know. go. When they're younger, they need your help. And they have to, you know, get all the stuff. And I remember basically thinking, if I have to be somewhere, I need to allot about 5 minutes per kid to find all the clothes, to find all the stuff they need, to actually get them out the door to be somewhere on time. And then because, you know, it never fails. There's a boot missing. There's a coat gone. There's one mitt is who knows where. Like, the Lord help you if you got to find a matching pair of whatever. And that's life, isn't it? And then when they're really young, okay, they just have this thing about you get the snowsuit on and you start to head for the car and they fill their diaper. It's like, it's just an automatic. It's like the extra clothes on. And it's like, oh, I just, yeah. So that are the things we face in life, right? And there's always opportunity. I mean, if you've been married, you know there is an opportunity to lose your patience. It won't take long for whether it's your kids, your spouse, or even your friends, that they will know exactly what buttons can push to take you from 0 to 100, like, right now. Am I the only one?
No.
Okay. And they can be amazing, wonderful people, but we learn quickly. There are things in our lives that if this happens, I will lose my patience. And so we try to do everything at full speed. Like, we're trying to get as much accomplished as we can. We're trying to do as much as we can. I mean, we look at our culture. You can order from Amazon and get it free in this many days, or you can pay for Prime and get it in this many days. And I heard in the big cities, there's even like by the hour now or whatever it is, you can pay even extra. You can pay to speed things up. We can ask things like AI to do stuff for us now, you know, because we don't got time for that. But we can't bypass the process of what God is doing in our lives and be able to sustain it. We can't bypass the fruit that he's trying to produce in us, the change, the character, the culture that he's trying to build in us and expect to be able to thrive in what he's called us to do. God cares about your character and he cares about your development and he cares about who you become. And so he cares a lot about the journey that we're on. And I think it's even more about the journey than the end, because he's called us, he's created us, he's made us for something, and he wants us to get to that place where we're fully depending on him and trusting in him and leaning on him. And all of those things take time. The Bible is full of verses about the reward of patience and the need that we have for it. And, you know, you'll find words like quick in the Bible, but it's usually like quick to obey, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. So I looked up in theological dictionaries and stuff the word patience. And here's what some of them say: the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties, or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. Another one said the ability to wait on God. Waiting is not sitting idly doing nothing, but actively actually pursuing God to hear his voice, to be filled with his love and joy and peace, to hear the voice of God. So waiting for his leading and speaking is not doing nothing. So sometimes we think of waiting, we think of, I'm just going to take a nap on the couch and hopefully the bright light or the lightning bolt will come and I'll know exactly what I'm supposed to do, right? The idea of waiting is actually we pursue God. We don't have to go and try and do things and get ahead of God, but we pursue him to hear him and his heart for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I heard another definition. It was patience describes a person who has the power to exercise revenge, but instead exercises restraint. And the Vines Theological Dictionary says that the patience is a fruit of the Spirit that can only grow under trials. That's no fun. But yet there is truth to that. There are things that will grow in us that only come from tension, that only come from friction, that only come from going through challenging times. There are things that are happen, I think, in any relationship that you have, friendships or with your spouse or whoever, even people you work with. When you go through something hard together, it either blows it up or brings you close, right? It's kind of a choice of how you decide to look at it. But the more that we go through things together, the more we form a bond too. And so when I think of patience, actually, I just want to say this. Did you know that there's people in your life that I think God is using on purpose to grow patience in you? And if you think right now that there's no one like that, maybe God is using you to grow patience in someone else. But you know, there are people in our lives that do things because God allows these things to be formed in us because we need that in order to change sometimes. And so when I think of needing patience, I think of basically two main things in life, all right? The first one is waiting on God and his timing. And as I was thinking about this and looking at different scriptures about patience, it became really evident that patience is tied to faith. When we have to trust in God and his timing and in his goodness, in his faithfulness, in his character and his nature, that his promises are always yes and amen, that when God says something, you know, in his word, it will happen, like those kind of things. We actually have to have faith in order to be willing to wait, don't we? And so there is a tie, I think, between patience and faith, to be able to trust in God, that even though things might not be happening the way I think they should or want them to, I trust him because I trust his timing and I trust his goodness. I trust he's always got my back. I trust he'll never leave me. And so the second thing I look at is we need patience. Patience is shown as a response to the things that we face in life. And I think it's directly tied to the fullness of the revelation of the love of God that we have in our life or that we don't. Because I think our ability to give patience, to act in patience towards things that happen in life is directly tied to us knowing that we're loved and that we have a loving God with us and that we are called to release love. Because when somebody does something to me, I'm only able to act in patience if I actually have love in my heart. If I'm loving myself more than God, there is a different side of me that's going to come out, right? The flesh side, the anger, the I'll feel like you owe me, you betrayed me, you this, that, and I deserve to da-da-da-da, and we go down that thought process. But if I am carrying the love of God, and if I'm loving the Lord more than myself in that moment, I can surrender and say, it's okay, I can actually show love back to you even though you don't deserve it. And so I really do believe that in those two areas, patience is tied to faith with trusting God. Patience is tied to love in how we respond. And I would say that there's several areas in how we respond. Like I think I put up, we respond to other people. We respond in patience to ourselves. Because how many know we have to have patience with ourselves sometimes? We actually have to be okay and learn to love ourselves, even in the midst of our own mistakes. Sometimes the hardest person to have patience for is yourself. You know, and so we need that. And we need to have patience in certain circumstances. So when you are waiting in line, that, you know, if you can carry patience into those moments where you're standing in line, instead of losing it on the inside, if you're actually able to have patience, then you're actually able to release the grace and the love of God to those around you. And you're actually able to look around and go, hey, what needs are out there? Who's there that I could actually extend love to or help to? Instead of if inside your blood's boiling and you're angry, you're not thinking about anything else but myself and how I'm a victim and how everybody better help me out because I'm in need. Anybody can relate? And so, and then there's specific things like, you know, how many of you struggle with opening the wrapping on some stuff sometimes? Or you get a brand new phone and you think, I got to go through the whole process of setting this stupid thing up. You know, there's many things that come in life that we need some patience, right? And so again, even towards inanimate things, we still need to carry the love of God in our heart or it'll rattle us when we face this stuff. Make sense? I mean, that's the whole sermon right there. If you get that, we're probably good. But Romans chapter 5, and I guess the third thing I should add is God is patient with us. Yeah. There's scriptures about that. We're not going to get into that today, but God is very, very, very patient with us. And in that, we need to be a patient to others, right? Romans 5 talks about how problems and trials develop endurance in us. I put this up there in the message, because I just liked how it put it. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience. I never heard of passionate patience until I read this, but I thought that's good. And how that patience in turn forges a tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. That's really good. And so I love the way the message puts that. But basically, it says that, you know, we go through trials and it develops patience or endurance. And in verse 5, it says his love is poured into our hearts. And in verse 6, in Romans 5, verse 6, it says that just the right time, Christ died for us. And again, there's several scriptures in it that point to the perfect timing of God. And at just the right time, Jesus came for you and I. And, you know, if you read Romans 5, it's basically a pathway to growth. If just read through it and read what it's saying. I know we don't get excited about patience, but patience is something we need to thrive in life. Or we'll always be taken out of that place of peace and joy. We'll always be in a state of getting angry or frustrated or losing our temper and not able to actually respond the way God calls us to. And so it steals from us if we can't keep patience. Can't have patience. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, brethren and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. Have you ever noticed when you're impatient, like when you don't have patience, that you're usually kind of mean, rude? You make dumb mistakes usually because you act and make decisions out of anger instead of love? Am I the only one? Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So again, patience is tied to love. And if we can't make allowance for each other, we can never live in unity, can we? If we can't have patience, I will never put up with someone else and their difference from me. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, again, there's that phrase, at just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. God knows the right time to respond in your life. God knows the right time to speak to you. God knows the right time to reveal himself to you. God knows the perfect timing for things to happen in you. But that does sometimes involve a lot of waiting. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Colossians 3:12 says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so this is something we're called to carry, called to have in our lives. So many things in God require faith, require patience, require waiting on the Lord. You hear scriptures like, my soul waits, and there's this imagery of us actually waiting, pursuing, leaning into God. Patience is a discipline. Like, there are things that we can do to help ourselves grow in that, but it truly is something that is produced by the Holy Spirit. We'll only get so far on our own. And then there has to be this place of laying our lives down, submitting to God and saying, God, I want you. And I can't do this on my own. I don't want to be rattled or be full of fear or anger or bitterness every time so-and-so shows up or every time this happens in my life. And to get to that place, we need the Holy Spirit where we can be okay in those situations. And so we need a greater revelation of the love of God for us. It's key. It's key to know that I'm loved. That he loves me, and there is literally nothing I can do that will change that. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more or to make him love me less. He loves me perfectly and unconditionally all the time. And again, it's easy to hear that and say that up here, but we need it here because it will change you. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. How many know it's easy to start stuff and hard to finish, right? How many times have you started a job or something on your to-do list and then you just don't quite get it done? And for the guys, you know, have you ever seen the meme that says, you don't need to remind us every 6 months, we'll get to it, we know? You know, like, but it is easier to start stuff than finish, isn't it? And we need that patience to keep pushing, to keep going. Rushing with God doesn't work. We have to learn to trust him, to rest in him, to not be anxious, but to truly lean in on him. And remember the first characteristic of love that's listed in 1 Corinthians 13. Do you remember what that is? Love is patient. As I was reading some of the scriptures this week, Luke 8:15 jumped out at me. It's the parable of the soils. And in Luke 8:15, it says, the ones that fell on the good ground, the seed that fell on the good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And if you look at the cross references in the other gospels, it talks about bearing fruit, multiplication in your life. But it comes from fruit, comes out of patience. It comes from the time, going through the process. You know, like that first song we sang today, I wrote that song, and every time you write something like that, there's a process you go through. And I'm still working on it. I'm not done with it. It's fun to try it with a group of people to see where it flows, but you're still not done. Like, you still fix it and tinker with it. And it's like many things in our life, when you are on a project, there's a process you go through. But you can't cut short. You can't skip. You can't, like, if an engineer takes a shortcut on making a bridge because it's taking too long, it becomes a big deal. Right? And so we can't shortcut the process that God is doing in our hearts and lives. We need to surrender to Him, and we need to let our lives be full of that fertile soil that allow the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in us. And so if we're trying to speed anything up, we should be worrying about producing a heart, having a heart that's ready to receive from the Lord, a heart that's full of joy, a heart that's full of humility and surrender to the Lord, and walking in obedience to Him, because that prepares a place for the seed, the Word of God, to land in our heart and produce life. And so the more I've surrendered, the more I've repented, the more I've humbled myself, the more ready I am to actually grow. Last week, I shared the story of Jesus in Mark 4 of being in the boat, sleeping in the middle of the storm. And the disciples wake Him up, and they're yelling at Him. And there's this phrase, "Do you not care that we're going to drown?" And I think sometimes in the waiting season that we go in with God, I think it's the same kind of question that, we go through things that steal our peace. And there's also the having the patience to wait on the Lord in the period from when we are praying and needing an answer or breakthrough to when we see His response. That sometimes, like, God, do you care? Do you hear my prayer? Do you see that I might die here? Do you see the struggle I'm going through? Lord, do you actually remember that I exist? God, the sooner you act, the better. I heard so-and-so got healed. I heard so-and-so got an answer to prayer. What about me? Maybe you've been praying for healing, for a job, for a spouse. Can you trust Him in the waiting? Can you trust Him in the waiting for the leading, the direction, the answers, the breakthrough, whatever it is? Are you holding on to faith? If you're praying for a spouse, don't waste the time, the waiting in between. Sometimes things go in my head. You know, many times I've seen people start out with a list of like 50 things. Like, my spouse, I'm praying for the perfect man or the perfect woman. You know, they're going to have all these things. And then as time goes on, the list shrinks. You know, it's down to, like, if they've got a heartbeat and a job, let's go. But, you know, listen. If you're waiting on something like that, don't waste the time in the answer to prayer. But get your life in the place where you're ready to be with the person that you're praying to be with. So get yourself healthy so you can be with a healthy person. Prepare your life to be ready to meet that person. Sometimes I think there's those delays because there needs to be change in us. And so, you know, if you want to be a leader of a business, if you want to be an entrepreneur, those kind of things, you have those kind of dreams too, and you're praying, God, help me, I want to start something, or I want to do something, or I want to be successful at this, then start preparing now. Lay the groundwork in your life. Get to learn to be a leader. Learn what it means. Find ways to serve and help others so that you're prepared when those opportunities come. I believe that God hears every single prayer. I believe that His timing is perfect, even when it doesn't feel like it. And sometimes I do believe that God is checking our faith and checking our character in the waiting season. Are we pursuing Him harder as we wait for Him? And are longing for that breakthrough or that answer? Or are we giving up because we only treat God like a vending machine? I prayed once, I prayed twice, God, I guess You don't care. If I don't get that instant answer the way I like it, then forget it. You know, sometimes He's allowing us to be transformed so that we're ready for the answer. Sometimes He's waiting for us to partner with Him, to get up off the couch and start moving in a direction so that He can come alongside and say, let's go. Sometimes there's a mystery in it all, and all we can do is say, God, You're good. I trust in You. No matter what, I might not understand the trial or the thing that I'm facing, but in the middle of this, I'm going to still declare, God, You're good, and I love You, and I trust You, and I'm just going to seek You. That's all I know what to do right now. I don't know what direction I'm supposed to move. I don't know whether to do this or do that or change jobs or all those kind of things we can get caught up in. It's just, God, right now, because nothing's really clear, I'm just going to go after you. I'm going to trust when the timing's right, you're going to show me what I'm supposed to do. And that's easier said than done. You know, God promised to send a Messiah for decades and centuries before Jesus actually showed up. And his people waited and waited and waited. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus 700 years before he came. And so we don't always see what God is doing when we aren't seeing the instant answers to prayer, but we need to trust that God is moving, that he's lining things up, that he's working things out. Just like I read in Romans chapter 5, Galatians 4 also says at just the right time, God sent his son Jesus so that we could be adopted as sons and daughters. At just the right time, God knows what to do. And I was reading what the phrase means there, and it actually means the time was fully pregnant, is what that is describing. And so I've seen three kids born of my own, and I've seen some close calls in the ambulance when I've helped out there with some moms. And I've noticed something with pregnant people. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. You can wish it and want it to come, that baby to come today. It'll come when it's ready. And when it's go time, it's go time. There is no stopping it, right? And so I really do believe that it's similar with God. There is nothing on this earth that will stop the timing, the perfect timing of God. There's nothing that'll stop his purposes and his plans and his word from happening. Amen. It might not be at the time we expect. All three of our kids were late, very late, you know, and it drove my wife more than me nuts, but she was like, get these things out of me, you know. And sorry, I'm putting my words in your mouth, but I remember the impatience because it's like, come on, and you're excited and you're anticipating and you're uncomfortable and all the stuff that goes with it, right? And so for years, for centuries, people were waiting for the Messiah. Craig Rochelle talks about how it's easy to have 2020 hindsight to look back and see what God was doing, you know, because sometimes we can look back and go, oh, this and this and this needed to line up for this to happen, right? And we don't always have that. We don't always see it, but we can see some of the things and the reasons that God waited to send the Messiah at just the right time. I'll just give you a few just so you can see how this works sometimes. There's a period between the Old Testament and the New Testament of about 400 years. And in that time, there was a guy named Alexander the Great. You ever heard of him? Okay, he conquered the entire known world in 12 years. When you're that good, they don't call you the goat, they call you the great. All right, he conquered the whole thing. And what's interesting, the reason this mattered because for the first time, there was a common language everywhere. Almost everybody knew some amount of Greek. And so during that time, the Old Testament then was translated into Greek. And so the Old Testament and all of its prophecies were translated into Greek. And if you've ever heard of the some other things that happened in that season, there was the Socratic learning method. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's where you were actually encouraged to learn by asking questions. And so before, it was always, the learning method was, it was a one-way street where the person taught you, and that was just that. And now people were encouraged to ask, to learn, to be able to even to ask God, you know, questions. That's how people grew. And so there was things like that happened in that season. There was also in 63 BC, the Romans conquered the Greeks, and there was a season of peace instead of war. And so the Romans built roads and highways for quicker transportation. And there was this season in there called the diaspora, where the Jews were dispersed all throughout the Roman world. And so behind the scenes, when people might say, well, where is God and what is he doing and why is he taking so long? Suddenly, for the first time, everyone could read out of this language. They understood the similar language. The Bible was translated for people to understand. There was the ability for people to travel like never before at higher speeds to get the news out. And spread the gospel to people that were spread all over the Roman world. And so in the waiting, God was working. You know, Jesus had to wait. He's 30 years for a three-year ministry. And we get a little glimpse at 12 years old that he's teaching in the temple when his parents had an epic fail, forgot about him for 3 days. That should make every parent here go, whew, I'm good. You know, Jesus had to wait. And we don't get even see in the Bible what happened between that all those years exactly what was going on in his life, but the Bible does say that he grew in stature and wisdom and favor with men and with God. He went through a process of growing, just like you and I need to go through a process of growing. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the promised baby, Isaac. I think many of us, when we start to go through some of those things, we start to ask the question, God, did I really hear you? God, are you sure? Did you forget what you said you were going to do? Do you even hear my prayers anymore? You know, Joseph had a dream and a vision to rule, to lead, to influence, and to save, and he waited 13 years for that to come to pass, and most of that time was spent in a prison for a crime he didn't even commit. The woman with the issue of blood suffered for 12 years, unable to function as a normal woman, humiliated and broken, spiritually unclean, and when she finally got the chance to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and he said, "Your faith has healed you," everything changed. There was a man who couldn't walk for 38 years. I mean, that's most of my lifetime that he spent on a mat. And after 38 years, Jesus looked at him and said, "Pick up your mat and walk." Why 38 years? I don't know. But I do know that God hears your prayer. And it might feel like it's been a long time of knocking and asking, "God, where are you?" I've shared this story many times, but I just felt I should share it again today. I've seen God break through in many miraculous ways in my life. And sometimes they're instant and right away, and I love that, that's fun. Sometimes they haven't been. I suffered with chronic pain in my ankle for 5 or 6 years, where I was using a shovel sometimes to get around my yard because I just couldn't lean on that foot. I would wake up, take painkillers, did nothing, and it just hurt all the time. And I remember it, when you're in chronic pain for a long time, it impacts you and it affects you. And so I remember going through that season of, like, I struggled with whether to give up, whether to lose hope, and all those kind of things. I asked everyone who would pray for me to pray for me. I went to healing services. I prayed for myself. I read every scripture on healing that I could, and I prayed over myself, and I went, like, I did everything I could think of and just tried my best, and yet still, I had pain for many, many, many days. And yet, at the end of that, whatever it was, 5 or 6 years, I remember getting off the couch one night and hearing the Lord say, "I'm going to heal you before your boy was born, before your boy is born." And that was 3 days before Caleb was born. And on that third day, when I dropped Jill off at the hospital front door, she was in labor. I was able to go park, and I ran up to that room. And I ran for the first time in all those years without any pain. And it took until after where I realized I'm healed. And so God came through on his promise. Why did it take 5 or 6 years? I have no idea. But I knew that he heard my prayer every time, that he was with me. And there was a journey and a process that I grew in that time of suffering and pain and struggle. I have way more compassion for somebody that's hurting today. And I will never doubt the impact it has on someone who goes through that stuff, the chronic pain. I also know that I have a fight in me now to pray for every sick person, to pray for every disease, to believe for the impossible, because I've seen him do it over and over and over again. I've seen him heal spines that are crooked like that and make them go straight. I've seen him heal so many different diseases, and I refuse to give up on that. Why it doesn't always happen instantly, I don't know. But I do know that God's a God of miracles, and I trust him. I trust his nature. And so the things we go through sometimes produces stuff in us that will change us and help us to grow in our faith. I hope that makes sense. I just want to encourage you, you know, if you're struggling, if you've been knocking on the door of heaven and saying, "God, where are you?" Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't think that it's over. God is able, and it's not done yet. God's delays are not necessarily his denials. And maybe the reason that you're waiting is God's working on it. Maybe there's a spiritual battle, you know, like what we read about in Daniel, where there was a delay in the response, the delay in hearing. Maybe there's a surrendering that has to happen in your heart to be ready, to be fully in that place of brokenness so that you're not trying to do it yourself, but you're leaning on the Lord. There's many things that it could be. But all I can say is keep going, keep praying, keep pressing in, keep trusting him. Run after him in the waiting. Don't waste the waiting season. Let him grow in you. Let him build that faith and that transformation. I know that's easy to say and it's very hard to do, but it's the process of refining you so that when you come out the other side, you're more like him. And sometimes it's instant, the answers we get. This week, we were praying, as we always pray as a family together at night, and Emily was kneeling at the end of the bed, And her brothers were lying in the bed, and I don't know, Caleb was flopping around and kind of hitting her. And it was kind of funny because she says to us, "I literally just prayed for God to give me patience." And Caleb rolls over and smacks her in the face with his foot, you know? And so when you pray for patience, be careful. Because you'll be given the opportunity to be patient. Isaiah 64:4 says, "For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him." God works for those who wait for him. And it says, I'm just going to fire a few scriptures at you here. Psalm 27 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take courage." Psalm 37:7 says, "Wait for the Lord. Do not fret." How many of you struggle with fretting once in a while? You know? Psalm 40 verse 1 says, "I waited patiently and he heard me." I promise you, God hears you. And I think of myself as a dad, and I think of my kids when they ask for things. And my desire is to give them everything they want, but I do know that sometimes the best thing for me to do is say no, or not yet, not now. And sometimes I know that God is doing that with us too in the way he responds. And it's because either we're not ready or the timing isn't right. And he knows what's best for us. God is not holding something back because he wants to manipulate you or toy with you or he doesn't like you today. That's not his heart at all. He always loves you. That will never change. I'm going to end there. I just encourage you to bow your head and close your eyes for a minute. I want you to think about the areas in your life that are a struggle, that you're going through right now. I think if you're ever wondering, have I achieved patience? It's the ability to basically renounce the desire to justify ourselves or revenge ourselves. Being able to be at peace and okay with ourselves in whatever situation that we face. Because if I have to justify myself, if I have to seek revenge, if I have to go after other people when I'm wrongly treated, I'm not walking in patience and I'm not walking in love. There's several scriptures, you can read them in 1 Peter. It talks about how Jesus went through suffering. And he's the example for us. And so that it's credited to us when we can learn to be patient when we're treated wrongly. And so for those this morning who are waiting on God, waiting for an answer, waiting for a breakthrough, waiting for a miracle or his direction, I want you to just ask the Lord, "Lord, what do I do in this waiting season? God, instead of tuning out, instead of giving up, instead of losing hope, instead of being depressed or anything, God, I want to be faithful and I want to walk with you. So what are you asking me to do? How do I wait on you in this season? How do I seek you? How do I draw closer to you? How do I help, Lord, to get my heart to be fertile soil so that the fruit can be produced in me quicker? How do I be filled with you? How do I lean on your heart?" And if maybe there's an element of just needing that revelation of God's love so that you can respond out of love to the situations that life throws at you instead of anger, instead of bitterness, then just ask him. Ask him what the root is of those things that you struggle with. If it's something that your spouse does every day and it's driving you crazy, ask the Lord not to fix them, but what can I do in my heart to change? What is it, Lord, what's the root of the issue here? Maybe they do need to change, but go to God, not beat them up first. Ask him to fill you with his love so that you can be a peace carrier and a joy giver when you're standing in line and you're impatient and you're frustrated. And instead of allowing that frustration to build, you can give joy away. You can be a blessing to others around you. You can keep the peace in the midst of struggling, frustrating times. I heard Joyce Meyer say that frustration is a sign of living in the flesh. And so if you're frustrated, you're not living by the Spirit. And I think we allow many things to steal the joy and allow us and cause us to step into the flesh. And so, God, I pray you'd help us to draw near to you, because you promise that when we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. God, I pray that we'd get to know you more. I pray that we'd come closer to you. I pray, Lord, that we would trust you with everything. Help us to trust you with our growth, with the process that you're bringing us through, with our character and all that is happening in our life. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust in your word and the promises that you have for us. Help us in our unbelief, God. Help us in our weakness and in the waiting. And I believe, God, that you will answer, that you will respond, that you will lead us. And even if it's a no for now or a not yet or whatever it might be, God, we want to help us to have trust and patience in waiting and pursuing you. And Lord, even if you don't do things the way that I pray or hope, I know that you're still good. And God, nothing will ever change that you're good. Nothing will ever change that I will declare you're faithful and good in my life, because I know that you'll only do what's best in my life. So if the Lord's speaking to you about an area in your heart, then give it to him. And just as we close, I just want to say this. Just like I mentioned before, at just the right time, God sent his son Jesus to come for us. And he sent him to give us the opportunity of salvation, which is simply eternal life. It's the free gift of being set free from every sin and all condemnation and all guilt, that we could actually know God personally. And so he came and gave his life for you and I, because he knew that every single one of us would fall short. And he gave the opportunity for every single one of us to be free of that and to have a relationship with him, to know what pure, perfect love is, to know what joy is, to know what hope is, to know what peace is. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never had the opportunity to get to know Jesus personally, to actually experience the God who cares about you. And you know, Christianity is different than every other world religion that I'm aware of, because most world religions, you have to behave. You have to work at trying to be good enough to come closer to God. And yet God is the one in Christianity. He is pursuing you. He's chasing you. And he says, I love you just the way you are. I want you to come to me so I can change you from the inside out. And he's inviting you to come, to be free, to know his hope, to know his love, to know his joy. And that's an invitation for you today, right now. And so if I just want to make that invitation today, if there's someone here that has never invited Jesus into their life and they want to begin that relationship with him, would you just slip up your hand and I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird. I just want to pray with you, and we want the opportunity to help you on that journey. And so there's zero pressure today, but if there is, your heart's pounding, you're like, I need to know God. I want to know him personally. Would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray with you. Awesome. Well, let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness in our lives. I thank you, God, that this is a journey we're going on of learning to trust in your timing, trust that you have what's best in mind for us. Lord, we don't have to understand it all. Lord, sometimes mystery is needed so that we can have faith. And I just pray that you'd help us to trust you in everything. And I pray, Lord, for the things that we're facing. God, the people in our lives that, you know, you can call them grace growers or whatever, people that drive us crazy at times. Lord, help us to be filled with your love so that we can have patience. Because love is patient, and love is kind, and love does not demand its own way. And so, God, I pray you'd help us to love the challenging people, the hard situations. Lord, that we could carry your love and peace into frustrating moments with other people, and that instead of falling to that place of being angry and bitter and becoming a hot mess, Lord, that we could just be connected to you, and that we could carry your love and your peace to help others. So I pray for breakthrough, I pray for strength, and I pray you'd help us to grow in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have